Hey, in this life, have you ever felt like you had slipped through the cracks? Maybe it was your job. Maybe it was how you were being treated by those that were around you. Maybe even family. You just felt like, well, it just didn't seem like there was anybody who cared and didn't understand what was going on in your life at that particular moment. And I guess one of the best ways to say it is you just kind of felt unloved, or that the people in your life were just unconcerned. Well, today we're going to address that as we look at the lost sheep out of the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Grab your Bible, turn there. We'll see you back here in just a second. Hey, folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us as we endeavor a look at God's Word. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And as we started our Bible study, I was thinking about those folks who oftentimes feel like they have just slipped through the cracks, particularly in the fast-paced world in which we live. It's easy to overlook those who might be slipping through the cracks. And today's passage, as we look at it, it addresses that. And I think it should give encouragement to each and every one of us, particularly when there are those times in our lives when we feel like nobody understands or we feel like nobody really cares. Let's look together at our passage of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. And we'll see where Jesus highlights the preciousness of every individual soul. Would you read along with me, beginning with verse 12, Matthew 18, beginning with verse 12. It says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would truly speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that if there are those that are listening right now, that feel like they have just slipped through the cracks, that maybe feel like nobody really cares about them, that today their heart would be encouraged, Lord, that you would just surround them with your love and your mercy and your grace in such a way that they not only feel loved, Lord, but they know that they truly are. Lord, may your word come to life in our hearts, and may you speak to each and every one of us as you draw us close to you. Bless me as your servant for these moments. Lord, may I truly be your vessel to disseminate your word to your children. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, as we look at this particular passage, that should be encouraging. If you ever have been in that position where you feel like you have slipped through the cracks, and maybe nobody around you seems to care, or maybe nobody seems to understand what you're going through, I want to make you a promise today that God does and God understands. Sometimes it's not just that feeling. Sometimes we have slipped away from our Lord. We have wandered off, much like the sheep in this particular passage, and we find ourselves in a place that A, we didn't want to be, and B, we never thought we would be in. Sometimes the return, Satan loves to put it in our mind that returning to the Lord is going to be something that's embarrassing, that as you come back, people are going to look at you and point fingers and maybe talk about you. Well, that's not the way that it should be, and that is truly not the attitude of our Father. So there's a couple of things that we want to pull out of this particular passage of Scripture today. And one of the first things I want you to understand is that there is the love of the shepherd. Now, in this parable, Jesus paints a very vivid picture of a shepherd's deep love for each of his sheep. Now, despite having 99 safely in the fold, he is willing to go after the one that is lost. And you know what? Sometimes you might feel like that one that's lost. Well, God loves you enough that he is willing to leave the 99 there in a safe place and come after you. So if you're struggling with some things right now, keep those things in mind. May the Spirit encourage you with that today. Now, when we think about this concept, this reflects God's immense love as well as his concern for each of us and his desire to bring us back from the wandering. He's willing to go after us. Think about it like this. You know, imagine as a parent who has several children, and one of those children becomes lost. Maybe it's in a mall, a store, you know, a big event or something that's taking place, and one of the children wanders off, and one of the children gets lost. Well, the parent doesn't just write them off. It doesn't just sit back and say, well, you know, I have other children. I'm okay with these. That one can just go on and do his own thing. Yeah, I say that. It shouldn't be that way. The reason why is because parents have a love for all of their children. It's not that it's greater than the other. And sometimes that love is manifest in a different way. But instead of just letting the one child wander off and say, oh, well, we have one less now, instead they search relentlessly until the child is found. And that shows the unique love and the concern that they have, not only for that child, but also, you know, for the other children, because they would have done the same thing if it would have been one of the other children. So as we think about that particular concept and we think about that illustration, yeah, we need to make things personal to us. I've always said it's not just good enough to have head knowledge. It needs to be heart knowledge. What we learn from God's Word needs to trickle down and become a part of who we are. So how do we take that particular concept or that particular point and apply it to our lives? Well, let me ask this question. Are there areas in your life where you have strayed away from God? I know that every one of us, if we're honest, each and every one of us can at least point to a time in our life where that's what we've done. Maybe that's where you are right now. If you are, remember that He is always seeking us out, and He desires to draw us back into His loving embrace. And we need to keep that in mind, that God is pursuing us, and He wants us to be back on track with Him. He wants us to turn back to Him with that open heart, and He will welcome us in an incredible way. You know, one of the parallel scriptures that I like to kind of mention as I think about this is the story of the prodigal son. And most of us have heard that, and most of us know that. And this is kind of one of those situations. If you think about the younger son, he said that he wanted his inheritance from his father. And might I point out, too, I think I have in one of our other Bible studies that was concerning the prodigal son, but for the younger son to do what he had done, legally, he detached himself legally from his father. It was almost like he was saying to his father, I wish you were dead, because that way I would go ahead and have my inheritance that would be coming from you. Now, we know the story. It says that he got his inheritance. It said he went into a faraway country, and he spent it on riotous living until he blew every bit of it, and he found himself in a hog pen, you know, feeding the hogs at a hog pen for a farmer. And he began to remember what it was like when he was back home. Yeah, he had a nice bed to sleep in. He had food on the table. Things were taken care of. And he actually says in that particular story, he said, the servants in my father's house have it better off than I have it right now. Now, he knew what he had done. He knew that he had hurt and disappointed his father. But if you remember in that story, he began to rehearse what he would say when he went back. He said this. He said, I will go back to my father and tell him, I have sinned against God and I have sinned against you. You know, will you make me as one of the servants of your house? He wasn't even going back asking to be restored to sonship. He was going back just asking for a job, because he knew that he would be better off than being in the position that he was in, feeding the hogs. So he makes that journey back, and it's so ironic that it says, as the father saw him afar off, it says he ran out and met him. Now, if you know anything about biblical history, you know, the father of the prodigal son was a nobleman. They didn't run. To run, was it kind of went against the rules of being a nobleman. But it says that when he saw him, he ran out to meet him. It says that he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him, and he called, and he said, you know, go bring a fine cloak for him. Get, you know, put a ring on his finger. Let's kill the fatted calf, and let's eat, drink, and be merry. For my son that was lost has returned. The same way that that father treated that son is a great example of how God treats you and I. When we've been wandering off in that far country, when we have really messed up, and some people have said to me before, they're like, well, preacher, if you only knew what I had done, yeah, it doesn't matter what you've done. God is willing to forgive you. He is willing to bring you back into the fold. So let's be mindful of God's pursuit of us and turn back to Him, and let's do so with open arms. Okay, so that's one thing. Another thing that we can pull from our scripture text today is the joy of restoration. You see, the emphasis in this parable is not only on seeking the lost sheep, or in the other example I gave you, the lost son. The emphasis on this parable is also about the joy that we experience when we have found something. This particular case, the sheep that was lost, it was the experience when the lost sheep is found. You see, the shepherds rejoice more over the return of the one than over the 99 who had gone astray. Now, it's very interesting when you see this, because I've seen this in life so many times. There are people, and they, I want to say that they have aught against someone who has returned, because they're sitting back going, well, you know, why are you so joyous over that person? They created their own situations. We use statements like, well, they made their own bed, let them lay in it. And then it almost irritates those people when they see that lost sheep return or that lost son return, and everybody's making over them. Everybody's doing good. Let me give you an example of that. We were talking about the example of the prodigal son. You got to remember, the father was really, really glad to see the son who had wandered when he found his way back home. But the problem was, his older brother did not. His older brother saw all this stuff that was going on at the house, and he's like, hey, what's going on back at the house? And one of the other servants said to him, well, your brother, your wayward brother has returned, and your dad has killed the fatted calf, and there's a big party going on. They're celebrating his return. Now, we know the response of the older brother, because the older brother was not happy about that. In fact, he was kind of having that little pity party, and he goes down and he talks to the dad, and he says, hey, man, he said, you know, I've never been like him. I didn't turn my back on you. I stayed here. I have always been right here with you. And never once did you kill a fatted calf and let me have a party with my friends or anything else. So this older brother, he is upset with his dad. He's mad at his dad because he's celebrating that wayward son who had returned home. And folks, I will promise you that if you are in any family, and every one of us have been, we see that. There's always the golden child. There's always the special one, or at least that's how we feel about it. So you have to remember that, you know, there were 99 sheep that never strayed, but there was this great excitement when the lost one was returned, okay? And the shepherds were rejoicing over the return of that. Consider a person, you know, who's lost something precious, maybe like a wedding ring or something that was of value to them. Think about the joy of finding when it's found. It's just it immense, and the pleasure is just unsurpassed. The appreciation that is felt for that particular possession. But you know what? We have other possessions as well, but we're celebrating the one that was lost. We don't think about all the blessings and possessions that we may have over here. We're just glad that we found the one that was lost. Now, let's go back once again to application. How do we take that particular point and apply it to our lives? You see, we should share in God's joy when someone returns to faith or finds their way to God. We need to celebrate spiritual renewals within our communities, within our families, within our churches, and we need to encourage and support those that are on their journey back to God. It's so bad when you sit back and somebody may be in your sphere of influence, whether that's your community, your family, your church, or whatever. You know, maybe they have wandered off. Maybe they have been taken aback in a sin. And we do the opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says that we should go after them, and we don't. A lot of times, you know, we don't necessarily say this, but in our heart of hearts, we say, well, when they get their act together, they can come back and be a part of the fold. That is not what God wants us to do. And then what happens is when they come back and we're encouraging them and we're trying to celebrate their return to the Lord, there's always those few people who sit back and say, well, I'm not going to celebrate that because, yeah, look at what he did and look at the shame and everything else. Folks, listen, God is celebrating their return. We need to encourage those, and particularly those that if we've gone after as they begin to start the journey back to God. We need to walk with them and support them, and we need to encourage them in that journey so that they don't take a wrong turn, so that they don't wander away. And I'm also talking about true repentance, somebody that's really on their way back to God. We need to be agents of the Father. We don't need to be sitting back saying, well, Lord, I've never done all those things, and you haven't celebrated me, or you haven't been that kind to me. You know, when we begin to think about it, we realize how futile those statements really are and how untrue they are as well. So let's talk about a third point that we get out of our text today. And the third point that we need to understand out of today's text and message is the will of the Father. You see, Jesus concludes this particular passage by revealing, you know, the heart of our Heavenly Father. And the heart of the Heavenly Father is that He would that none should perish. You see, it's God's will that every one of His children find their way back to Him if they have wandered off. Think about it like this. Most of us can think about a teacher, you know, a good teacher, a teacher who wants every student that they have to succeed and works tirelessly to provide the tools and to provide the support that they need. You know, I have seen teachers give of themselves not only in a financial realm, but give of their time and their efforts and their energies because, you know, God called them to be a teacher, and they have loved those children, and they want to see them succeed, and they want to support them along the way on their educational journey as well as their journey into adulthood. Now, similarly, God provides for us His love. He provides for us His grace, and He provides for us His guidance, you know, aiming for all to come to repentance and to joy, because when there is true repentance, there is joy that comes along with that. Think about it for just a moment. We should celebrate one another. We shouldn't be sitting back going, well, you shouldn't have done the dumb thing that you've done, and you shouldn't have wandered off. We should not be I told you so people, because God is not that way. You know, when we think about even the examples in Scripture that we've used today, that's not the way the prodigal's father was. That's the way the son was. If I were to ask you today, you know, when somebody in our life, you know, maybe they did do something really, really dumb. Maybe they've been wayward and they've come back. What attitude are you taking? Are you taking the attitude of the father of the prodigal son and are you throwing your arms around him and welcoming him back? Or are you taking the attitude of the older brother who was pouting and who said, well, you've never done this for me? You know, he was just so mad at his little brother. Now, that's not to say that he agreed with what he did. I think there's a real clear distinction that needs to be made right there. The father of the prodigal son didn't agree with the decision of the younger son. The older brother didn't agree with the decision. But the thing about it is, how long do we punish someone? We sit in judgment so often, and the Lord said, I am the one who is judge. And when the Lord forgives, He says that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. And I don't know about you, but I have been forgiven much. I always think about the passages that come in the early part of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, where it says, judge not lest ye be judged. And then in Roy's paraphrase of that passage, what we learn is God says, well, if you're going to use a high standard of judgment against your brothers, He said, if it's good enough for you to use against them, then I'll use your same standard of judgment against you. And I said just a moment ago, I have been forgiven of so much, and I certainly want the lightest standard of judgment from God Almighty in my life, and I believe you would as well. So He says, we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. So how do we apply this particular point to our lives? We need to let this knowledge motivate us to participate in God's mission of reconciliation. You know what, folks? There are people, and you in your life have probably at least at some point in your spiritual journey wandered away. For some of us, we can look back and there have been peaks and valleys. There have been times when we've been close to God. There have been times when we've been far away from Him, and we need to return. That is a ministry or a mission of reconciliation, and we need to participate in God's mission of reconciliation. We need to reach out to those who may feel like they're lost in this big old world. We need to reach out to those who feel like there's nobody in their life that cares. We need to reach out to those who we know once were walking with the Lord, but now they're wayward. We don't just sit in the church house or sit in home and say, well, you know, somebody will get their attention. You may be that somebody that God is wanting to reach out to those particular people. I still remember a fellow many years ago in my church who said, I can remember a time in my life when if somebody would have just come into my life and told me, hey, I just want you to know that I love you. He said it would have changed my whole life in that very moment. You know, you think about people who are that way, people who have wandered away from the Lord, people who life has dealt some pretty difficult circumstances. We need to reach out to them, okay? So if you see that person that may feel lost in the world or disconnected from God, we need to offer them encouragement and we need to offer them guidance in a way that points them back to the Father. You see, God's love is relentless, and His joy over each soul's return is boundless, particularly when if we've wandered away. You know, it is His will. I love that particular passage that said, it's God's will that none should perish. I believe the verbatim verse is, He would that none should perish. Now, as followers of Christ, we need to adopt this particular divine perspective, not our own perspective, but a divine perspective. And as we do that, we need to be seeking with love those who have wandered away. We need to be rejoicing in restoration of those who have returned. And we need to align our heart with the heart of the Father's will. When you think about it, sometimes I think about particularly siblings who sit back and say, well, you know what, you're the favorite. You know, why do they say that? Because of certain things. I see, you know, in every family, literally just about every family, there's one that's a wayward one, the one that has wandered away, and the one who's always been there and done the good and done the right feels like they're slighted at times. It's like, well, why are you celebrating that one? They just completely screwed up royally, and here I am over, what am I, chopped liver? That's kind of the way we look at it. I guarantee you that as you heard that, you probably laugh because you might have even found yourself in the position of the favorite or the wanderer, or you may have found yourself in the position of the one who has been faithful and who has always been there. Well, we need to rejoice with those who return. Okay, so I want to go ahead and have a word of prayer with you. I'm going to let you know what we're going to be looking at for next week in just a moment. But let's pray today as we close our time together in God's Word. So let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for loving us with such a deep, deep, abiding love. Lord, we ask that you would grant us courage and wisdom to seek the lost and to rejoice when they return. Lord, may we not be like the prodigal son's older brother. Lord, may we be more like the father. May we rush out to them. May we put our arms around them. May we journey with them on the journey back to restoration with you, to restoration with others, to restoration with families and churches and so many other things. God, help us to be those agents. Help us to align our will with your will, that none would be lost. And Lord, may we reflect your heart in our daily lives. And Lord, may we truly be an example of what you want us to be. And Lord, may we reflect who you are as we live out each and every day. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us today for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, I want you to take and have this particular opportunity to rejoice together with each other. And we want to invite you to come join us on for a Sunday service at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North, in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, and we would look forward to having you here. If you come, be sure to introduce yourself to me. Say, hey, look, I watched you online, wanted to come and worship in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist. We also have other discipleship opportunities from Sunday school through small groups. We have Awana for our children, and we just have so many other things that we could provide for you in a way to be on your spiritual journey, whether it's returning to the Father or whether it is just keeping a wonderful opportunity to grow in His grace. We would love to see you at Central Baptist Church. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.